This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, February 13th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. PG&E blasted for delays and hasty build-out. Almond prices to rebound and ag census being released today. PG&E faces more scorn from agriculture. The Western Agricultural Processors Association has long railed against California's largest utility provider. During a recent hearing at the Public Utilities Commission, the trade group maintained that criticism of PG&E. WAPA Assistant Vice President Priscilla Rodriguez told CPUC that the state's inadequate electric infrastructure poses a serious dilemma for the clean energy transition. She cites significant time delays and failures in connecting businesses to the grid throughout the San Joaquin Valley. Rodriguez said agriculture is low on the priority list. One farm shop just 500 feet from a highway waited 6 years for a basic power connection. Another facility has rented diesel generators while waiting for a hookup, costing millions each season. Meanwhile, farmers have been upset with PG&E over its proposal for a new transmission line that would bisect properties, according to the California Farm Bureau. Growers testified at a separate CPUC hearing that the project would devalue vineyards, force farmers to move wells, impact aerial sprays, and limit tree plantings. Many were frustrated that in the rapid infrastructure build-out, PG&E has not adequately reached out to impacted communities. Report: almond prices to rebound. Almond growers will see a strong rebound in prices in the next 12 to 18 months. That's according to a new report from the Rabo Research Food and Agribusiness Group. Production challenges over the last years, along with a drop in demand, will drive ending stocks to the lowest level in 4 years. But the lower carry-in for this year is likely to stabilize prices at stronger levels. The industry will soon hit new records for production, domestic shipments, and global exports, fueling strong growth in India now that the country has dropped its tariffs, and meet demand from plant-based foods, rising incomes, lower inflation, and strong marketing efforts, they concluded. On that note, the researchers will be presenting at the World Ag Expo this week. AgriPulse Brad Hooker will be covering the action and filing reports from the expo. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Study: evaporation accounts for 1.3 million acre-feet of losses along the lower Colorado River. Roughly 1.3 million acre-feet of Colorado River water lost through evaporation each year between Lake Mead and the U.S.-Mexico border. That, according to a new Bureau of Reclamation analysis of data between 2017 and 2021. Why is this important? Well, evaporation is one piece of the puzzle reclamation and state water officials consider when discussing potential cuts, and the results of the study could very well play into ongoing debates over what framework will be used to guide curtailments after current guidelines expire in 2026. Now, keep in mind, hydrological improvements in the Colorado River Basin and a deal between Arizona, California, and Nevada to conserve at least 3 million acre-feet of water through 2026 have reduced the chances of Lake Mead reaching Deadpool, giving state negotiators some breathing room to discuss future guidelines. In a release reclamation, said Lake Mead is presently about 40 feet higher than it was projected to be at this time last year. Labor Department addresses travel and subsistence obligations under H-2A program. H-2A employers will be able to charge farm workers up to $15.88 for providing the required three meals a day under program rules, the Labor Department says in a Federal Register notice that's due out today. The increase of 46 cents a day follows the Consumer Price Index increase of 2.7% for food between December 22 and December 23, the Department's Employment and Training Administration said. The notice also addresses employers' obligations to reimburse for travel and daily subsistence under both the H-2A and H-2B programs. Ag Census comes out today. USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service will release its latest Ag Census today. The document, officially the 2022 Ag Census, contains a wealth of data about characteristics of United States farms and their operations. The information is used in, quote, improving decisions about jobs, transportation, production practices, new technologies, marketing opportunities, farm services and programs, local, state, and federal policy, and more, USDA said in encouraging farmers to respond to questionnaires more than a year ago. Amanda Starbuck, research director at Food and Water Watch and one of those who'll be analyzing the data, said yesterday she expects the trend toward larger operations and fewer family-scale farms to continue. USDA to roll out the census online at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. New Corps could help fill USDA workforce holes. U.S. Department of Agriculture leadership hopes the newly announced Working Lands Climate Corps might produce a pipeline of workers for the department. Participants in the Corps announced yesterday in partnership with the Corps Network and the National Association of Conservation Districts will work to connect landowners with USDA conservation resources. But Robert Bonney, USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, said USDA hopes the program will spark a long-term career interest in its participants. The hope here is that we can create a pipeline of people, whether it's NRCS or maybe they go to work for conservation districts or elsewhere, Bonney told AgriPulse on the sidelines of the NACD's meeting yesterday in San Diego. But we're trying to build an infrastructure here that we hope can grow over time. The program will initially start with 100 participants, but Bonney expects, quote, we'll do more. Here's today's She Said It. We're shifting around the chairs on the Titanic. That assembly member Jackie Irwin of Camarillo on efforts to reduce energy rates in California, that with an interview in the San Francisco Bee. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, February 13th, brought to you by Robo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.